Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, the chat want to hear it. They want to know. We want to go into this immediately. You are fresh back from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I mean, literally, you've walked in the door. We've waffed down a bit of Deliveroo, and we're here right now live streaming. So what did you make of that today? That was a bit, game of two halves, right, to use a cliche.
That was the biggest game of two halves I've ever watched, because the first half was just, as a non-Haaland captainer, sat in the stands.
Yeah.
Watching that first half of football.
And he gets the assist early doors.
So, for a start, I saw the team sheet. First thing I did was text you and go, we've done the wrong thing.
It's a problem.
We've got a problem. Have you seen the team sheet? And then it kicks off, and then early on he's got an assist, and I'm thinking, oh God. This defence has got no clue what it's doing. This whole team has got no clue what it's doing. Who the hell is that clown in the touchline area? What is happening at my club? And then as the first half continues, we'll talk a little bit about it later.
We will.
Particularly
absolutely
the Semenyo Haaland thing. I'm like thinking, oh my God, how am I getting away with this? How am I getting away with this? But I did think that Semenyo might do better in the midfielders, might benefit more.
Yeah, absolutely. You said that on Ohana podcast. Absolutely.
And so I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'm getting away with this. Then we come out for the second half and they hold out the number and it says Romero's going off. And we all went,
now what's happened there? Come on. Honest opinion.
So the stands.
Has he torn a strip off someone? What's going on?
We all sat there and went, he's punched Thomas Frank. He's punched him. He's definitely punched him. There's definitely been a fight in the dressing room because Frank didn't come out for a bit either. So the guys are like, is Frank on the bench? And I'm like, don't know. So I get my phone out, which is what I regularly do when I'm trying to work out who the sub is. And I zoom right in so I can work out who's about to come on. And I tell everyone. Anyway, so I zoom right in and I'm panning along the bench. I'm like, Frank's not there. Yeah. And he wasn't there for about 3 minutes. And then he appeared. I was like, oh, maybe they've not had a fight.
Wiping the blood off his knuckles.
Maybe they've not had a fight. But we were so much better in the second half. We'll talk about the game a little bit more. But it was honestly chalk and cheese, the performance. And Xavi Simons, that was the best performance in the second half. He's been great in the Champions League, but the second half performance today in the league, that was the best I've seen. The proper grit and fight from him.
Yeah, really he come out far more aggressive. Like someone had actually insulted him and he was just like, right, screw it. I'm just going to put myself about. And I'm like, yes, that's what you need to do.
Do you know what?
Mate.
I honestly think he looked at it and went, somebody's got to take this team by the scruff of the neck and drag them along. And there's a nice chemistry with him and Dom Solanke. They're clearly friends. There's a bit of a bantery thing there. I've seen it on social media over the last few days. And I was like, the two of them together seems to be quite a good combo.
Yeah.
And Xavi, I think, appreciates the fact that when he sends the ball up to Solanke, he's bloody well where he should be. And he's...
Simons is just like, I've actually got a striker
it's
to
a
play with
now.
It's just like,
thank the Lord.
Thank God it's not Richarlison.
We'll talk about it all a bit more in detail later.
We will. We absolutely will. And speaking of combinations, you've got some interesting insights. Stick around for this, guys, because this was good insight. You come in and you were saying to me about the Haaland and Semenyo relationship, which you don't see this, that you've got some insight, which you won't see on Match of the Day, right? But it's not all sunshine and rainbows between them two, according to what you saw on the pitch today. But we will cover the game. We'll talk about all of the weekend's action. But welcome along. Welcome to FPL Families. You'll see on the screen two green arrows, Sam. I mean, bloody hell.
This weekend, Liverpool, win.
Yeah.
Tick. Spurs, draw. Tick.
Yeah.
Tigers, absolutely smashing the third place team.
London
tick, tick, Colony tick, tick,
under 12's Tigers were fantastic today, weren't they?
So we've had a weekend. We base our weekends on who's let us down. And we say most weekends, Spurs let us down, Liverpool let us down. The Tigers never let us down. Well, yet again, they didn't let us down. But this week, Spurs and Liverpool didn't let us down either. It's a good week.
And the chat are like, you haven't got your black shirts on today. We're not in mourning anymore. We're going to be as colourful and as happy as possible tonight because we've got nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about. I mean, your first half and our first 25 minutes, we'll discuss it. But, you know, we're not unhappy.
We don't need to complain about
it. We're not unhappy because ultimately it got resolved. It got resolved. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. If you did get a green arrow, guys, and even if you didn't, right, this is, you know, you guys know what FPL Family is about by now. This is not about green, red arrows, ranks or anything. This is just about trying to enjoy this game that we all put so much time and effort into. Bloody hell. And thank you for coming back this week because the last few weeks I've been putting a lot of time and effort into this game and not getting anywhere. And I've been a right grumpy bastard. I listened back to last week. God damn me, how you lot put up with me, I don't know. But
the
I shall
rant
try
you went on last week.
some of the rants about Liverpool last week. God dear me, the Bournemouth goal, wasn't it? But I'll certainly try not to be too negative about Liverpool.
Today.
Yes, there's a positives. Yeah, there's a lot of positives.
Some positives.
In the final third, there's a lot of positives. Yeah. In the defensive third, there's a fucking lot to deal with, I can tell you.
And he scored a nice goal for his dad.
He did. And fair play to Ibu, because...
That's quite harsh.
That's... Ibra, you know, that's some, but
Tigers,
no, I know. But if for Ibu to come back and play despite what's happened to him in the last couple of weeks, because if you don't know, I think he lost his dad a couple of weeks ago, yeah. And the club more or less said, you know, have whatever time off you need, and that which is absolutely right. But
yeah,
you know,
right
he
thing.
Called Slot and said, look, I know we've got a bit of a defensive crisis going on. I know you need me, so I'll play. And that's like fair dues to the guy.
Got a lot of time for that.
Oh, just unbelievable amount of
time.
This is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Couple of chats already, a couple of super chats. Malachi Fox, hello, mate. Nice to see you. Hi, Leon Sam. Hello, mate. Hope you're doing well. Oh, good look at Sam. 77 points for Malachi this week. Get in, mate.
That's
get
a good week.
In.
That is a good week.
And up to 30K.
Lovely.
Oh, mate. Up
that
to 30K.
Lovely. Finished? Or still got somebody to come tomorrow?
Yeah, Malachi, you done? Because, of course, we have got Sunderland versus... Remind me who they're playing tomorrow?
Burnley.
Sunderland versus Burnley.
I don't know why I said it like that.
If you've got... a Roofs like you, or if you've got an Alderete or a Mukiele or any of these guys, maybe you're playing Dubravka this week, then yeah, there might be one or two FPL assets still to play. So Malachi, let us know if you are 77 all out. But he says it's thanks, Sam, largely to the Chelsea sub Halls. Yeah, it looks as if Liam Rossinia, well, one thing for sure, he would have learnt a lot, I think, about some of his squad players in that first half, because there was a couple of them, Garnacho, that were particularly bad. Well, him as well. But
that side was appalling.
That side. I mean, Jarrod Bowen took the piss, didn't he, out of them two on that side?
It wasn't just Jarrod Bowen. It was Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Aaron Wan-Bissaka looked like, I don't know, peak Trent or something.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka and Bowen took the absolute piss out of Hato. Is it Hato or Hato?
Hato, I think.
Or whatever.
To the point where the Slack guys were like, should we all get Wan-Bissaka back in? Should we all get in the back in the biscuit team?
Yeah. And then they put some actual players on that side, and it was totally changed it in the second half. So, yeah, you're right, Malachi. It was a...
He's got to learn a lesson there, because that's twice in a week he's done that. And I appreciate you have to rotate the squad because they've got a lot of fixtures and all of that.
Well, he has to manage him, yeah.
However, in the Champions League, he rotated the squad. They were appalling first half against Napoli and he had to fix it. And then they were great in the second half. This time he made seven changes. You can't make seven changes. Three or four, maybe. He played a back line that never played together. And then second half... totally different ball game.
But you never know, Sam. You remember he's there under the his role is coach, right? There's probably a whole bunch of medical staff that are saying, here's what's available, play with that. Or, you know, Jao Pedro can only play 45 minutes, or Cucurella can only play. I don't know. But for sure, I think he found out a lot about who we can rely on and who we can't.
Oh, for sure.
Who we can't. Or let's just say some of them have got to pull their socks up a little bit. And definitely, I mean, Garnacho with his... United fans will, I'm sure, agree with some of this. Some of the arm wave. You know that thing that players
do?
Body language.
To be honest, in
rubbish.
The first half, Chelsea, we'll talk about Chelsea in a bit, but they were all a bit like that. Like at half time, it was so weird. I've never seen a team where they all got together and kind of sloped off together walked off the pitch.
But you saw like, do you see the video of Sanchez, though?
Yeah.
You see that, where the fans are just like giving it a bit, and he's just like, chill out. It's 45 minutes to go. Relax. So, yeah. So the Chelsea fans were, you know, I think rightly a bit aggrieved on 45, but they did the business. And a couple of my transfers in this week really paid out dividends in that game. So, yeah, I'm with you, Malachi. It saved my game week as well, those two boys. A super chat from George. Hey, George, thank you for the super chat. You've been a member here of the FPL Family YouTube channel for 8 months. Nice to have you along, George. Thank you, Sam, on the lovely Zoom call on Friday. Positively this weekend. Lovely stuff, mate. I have tried my best. I can tell you, George, and Sam will attest to this, 20 minutes in after that Gordon goal in the Liverpool game, I wasn't very positive about things, was I, dear? I'll be honest.
So to give you some insight into Lee's mood on Saturday...
The Chelsea
game finished. Lee was feeling all right because obviously... It was a bit... So at the beginning of the Chelsea game, Jao Pedro benched. He was annoyed because he was like, oh, you know, I knew this was going to happen. I shouldn't have done the transfers. It's all your fault. I made the wrong thing. I'm never listening to you again. Why'd you tell me to make these transfers? I was like, sorry, what?
Last week. You guys that were here last week will remember I was very keen on playing the wild card. And you said... just do the four transfers early, right? Though you want to do those transfers, do them early. And then if you want to play the wild card later because things go wrong,
Yes, it is sensible advice because then you would get your transfers back. You didn't need to hit the wildcard button straight away. And as it's proved, you didn't need a wildcard.
Well, one of those transfers was bloody Dorgu. So,
well, that wasn't my problem. I didn't tell you to get Dorgu, did I? So you decided to get Dorgu.
But George, no, you're absolutely right. After that Gordon goal and the way that it came about and the way we were getting dominated, I was not a positive.
You were going around at dinner time. You said to Max, I'll give you 20 quid, Max. It'll be 0-0 at half time. We'll be terrible. This, that, and the other.
Listen, we'll talk about the game. It played out largely as I thought it would for the first 20 or 30 minutes. But then Hugo Ekitike happened, Sam.
Yeah, you sold him, didn't you?
Hugo Ekitike, who I think is one of the best strikers in the business at the minute.
Does he remind you of properly, Torres?
Absolutely, like, does.
He does Steven Gerrard.
Absolutely does. Yeah, he is the business. No doubt about it. We'll talk about him later on. I've picked the perfect week to sell him in FPL, didn't I? Really, really good. That's just typical of my season. Well played, Lee, as usual.
We got João Pedro instead. So
but yeah. I got João Pedro. But, you know, maybe we need a bit of Hugo in our teams. We'll talk about him later on. Kingdom FC is in, I'd imagine.
I imagine he was the same as you. Not happy in the first half, happy in the second.
I would imagine Kingdom FC. A bit like us Liverpool fans, a bit like the Spurs fans, the Chelsea fans. Yeah, not at all happy in the first half, but second half, very, very good indeed. Very good. Neeraj Sharma, nice to see you, Neeraj. We've got Chatterbox is in, as usual. A whole host of you in any cast is here. We've just got a handle that just says the rubbish FPL player, which is, could be, I don't know, something to do with me, maybe. I don't know. As a United fan, Garnacho attitude, not a surprise. Listen, yeah, me neither. Yeah, me neither. And Chelsea fans, if you weren't sure what you had bought there, I think it's clear now, isn't it? It's clear. Waffle Coffee TV is in, Sam. Again,
love that, by the
back
way.
For another FPL family live stream. Hello, Waffle. Nice to see you. Joseph Robinson is here. John Robert Knight, FPL Maggot, is in. Nice to see you all. Who else have we got? We have got the Smiths, Azzy, in as usual. Not the week to sacrifice Mr. Florian Wirtz, he says, which was a move I know you made as well, but you were very... I remember listening to you on the Ohana on Thursday. You Mate, really agonised over that.
All week I missed really a couple of price agonized. Rises for Bruno because I really didn't want to do it. And I really, really, really wanted to do anybody else. And I looked at Rice and I thought, can't sell you ahead of a double game week, can I, that you're probably going to get. I looked at Enzo and I thought, what happens if you then get the double game week and you got great fixtures? And then I looked at Rodgers and I thought, you're the only one. Can I sell you?
Not a decent head of a decent looking home game.
No,
you can't.
So in the end, I sold Wirtz and I did not want to. And I feel, and I knew it was a problem. I spent all week, I knew it was going to be a problem. And it was a problem. In the end, Bruno, who came in for him, he almost caught it up. So it was all right in the endish. But yeah. I have got a plan. I'll talk about it later. I have got a plan back to Wirtz.
Have you?
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Very good. War Hornet, Daniel Banks, FPL Stinky, back again for another week. Whole host of you in this evening, guys. So welcome along to FPL Family. Thanks for joining. Thank you very much for joining us. Quick shout out to, we've had loads of new patrons in the last couple of weeks. We get in like fits and starts. We do like there's like a week when we get a load in, and then I think it must be to do with the starts of months and when the manager of the month competition starts. Now I think about it out loud. We get a bunch of people in, and then we have a couple of quiet weeks, and then it sort of goes up again. So listen, thanks to anyone that's joined us over on Patreon over the last couple of weeks. It's been a pleasure to have you along. A lot of people joining at the manager of the month tier, Sam, which of course you get the Slack access. You get the Ohana podcast, which are free for everybody, of course, on a Thursday. But the manager of the month tier is going great guns. And loads of people in that competition now. It's probably about, got probably about 150, 200 people in that competition. So yes, welcome along to our new patron supporters. And you've had a couple of Zooms as well recently, giving people some hot FPL tips.
Yeah, I've had some lovely chats over the last couple of weeks with various different patrons, including, as George mentioned, with George on Friday. We had a lovely catch up about life generally. Yeah. A little chat about Fest. We talked a little bit about Fest and the fact that it's going for a 2-dayer.
We've
been
2 days on Fest this year, aren't
they? Yeah, 2 days.
All right, fair.
And then obviously we talked FPL and George was wildcarding, so we went through the wildcard and I pulled some stuff apart. And actually, one of the things I did try and talk George out of was getting Romero in his team. And then he summed it up.
Did he want to do that?
So when he wanted to do it, yeah, and I think he
George,
did it in the end. I think he thought, he basically plays as Spurs' number 9, so...
He did do it at the end, did he?
I think so.
Oh, yikes, okay.
So when he went off at half-time, I did think of George while I was thinking, as he punched the manager, oh, God, George got him in his wild card.
Yeah.
We had a lovely chat. Right. It's always a pleasure talking to George.
Always, always. A pleasure talking to all of you patrons in our community. So patreon.com/FPL family. If you enjoy what you hear and see here on a Sunday night, You can join our community, get all sorts of additional extras, but patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below. That is where you will find a bit more of me and Sam for your lives. Right, let's get on, Sam, with some of these games. As usual, I've gone to the fixture ticker, which is what I don't intend to do. I intend to go to this page here. Do you want to do Spurs first, or do you want to build to it? What do you want to start?
Yeah, we can start with it if you like. Spurs, I don't mind.
We've kind of done quite a bit of it anyway, haven't we? But go on then, talk us through. Well, you've already talked us through the kind of, you know, the game of two halves bit, but let's look at it from an FPL perspective then. So tactically, actually, what happened, and are we now looking at, well, are we looking at Spurs? I don't know, because your fixtures still are pretty tough over the next few. But talk to me about City as well, because I want to hear what you saw live at the stadium today, particularly between Haaland and Semenyo. Let's start with that.
Let's start
because
with City.
You said it was a really interesting relationship between them two today.
So obviously the first half, I'm in the south stand, so they were shooting towards us. Mm. And Haaland's such a, he's so fascinating to watch live. Like, that's the third or fourth time I've watched him live, and he's brilliant to watch because he has this movement off the ball that you don't really notice when you're watching on TV, and I think that's in part because
Haaland,
so he spent the whole of the first half moving between Romero and Dragosin. He just ran backwards and forwards between the two of them,
yeah.
And I was like, what is he doing? And then I realised he was just basically trying to get them to each think the other one was marking him, so yeah, he would get a bit of space. And I think, you know, that's historically something that he has struggled with against us, is that he hasn't been given the space because we've basically gone to Mickey, man mark him, don't let him go.
Is he trying to occupy those centre halves so that it benefits Cherki and Semenyo?
No, I think he was trying to get himself space to right. get away from, because I think he thought, if I'm next to Romero, he'll, Dragosin will think he's got it, and then I'll move.
Okay.
I think that's what was happening.
Okay.
So it didn't happen so much in the second half because they didn't go up that end quite as often, but in the first half this was a regular thing. But what did happen is the when the ball was moving down Cherki's side, there was a lot more movement of the ball, particularly from Bernardo Silva as well, to look for Haaland and to find him.
I thought he was a menace today, Cherki, as well.
Cherki was
half,
horrible
yeah.
to watch. He was yeah. horrible.
From a Spurs perspective, yeah.
Because he was brilliant. Yeah. yeah, yeah. He was difficult. He was involved with everything. He's got this slight arrogance about him. He kind of swans around the pitch as if he owns the place, which obviously from a Spurs perspective, I was like, I don't like
he
that.
He does sometimes, though, doesn't he? He does.
But from a football perspective, I was like, that's what I want in my players. I want my players to walk around
yeah,
the pitch like
confidence,
that.
Confidence, attitude. Yeah, yeah,
I like
yeah.
that. Anyway, he was fantastic. But what was really interesting is that when it came down the other side via Semenyo, Semenyo is not looking for Haaland. Semenyo is looking to score a goal. And you said this on, I don't know if it was here last week or on Ohana last week, but he's not looking to pass the ball. He's looking to get the ball, run with the ball and put it in the back of the net.
He wants to be the goal scorer, no doubt. No yeah, doubt. Unlike Doku.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But what happened, there were three occasions where Semenyo ran into the box or towards the edge of the box. And rather than taking what was probably the easy pass to Haaland, who was free in the middle and probably would have slotted it home, he had a shot and it went out for goal kicks every single time.
I noticed that.
And Haaland,
yeah.
all three times, looked at him, was like, what are you doing? And Semenyo just kind of shrugged at him, held his hand up as if to say, all right, sorry, and then went away.
But I'm not really sorry.
But the next time he did yeah. the same thing again and I was like, ooh, this is interesting, because Haaland's clearly expecting you to play like he's had service before from either Doku and Bernardo Silva or whoever it is now, or Grealish in the past.
Years at City, it's been built around Haaland,
hasn't it? Yeah, Kevin De Bruyne was the same, right? Look for fine balls, look for Haaland. Whereas we're not seeing that with Semenyo. He is definitely playing his own game. Now, in FPL, I love that because I'm watching Semenyo and I'm like, you're getting the ball, you're taking your own opportunities. Now, all right, they don't always pay off, but one of them did today. But from a Haaland perspective, the first half, it wasn't him that was really the danger in there. I was like, Cherki's the danger here, the big danger. And then Semenyo maybe second with the opportunities. Mm. And in the second half, we kept him very quiet. Dragosin was on him all the time. And it was very clearly, Dragosin, it's your job.
Yeah,
once
yeah,
Romero
yeah.
went off, he is your job. And he did a good job managing that out. So, yeah, I thought it was fascinating to watch it because I was watching it thinking, we were told Semenyo has been signed to take the goal burden off Haaland. That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And Haaland's not happy about it, I don't think, because Haaland is not getting the service, therefore, from that side of the pitch anyway.
Will Pep look at it and go, well, he scored again today and he is doing what I've bought him to do, which is take a little bit of that goal burden away? Or will he dislike the fact that actually he had so many shots in that first half and was a bit wasteful? Because we know that Pep doesn't really like that. He likes his wingers to be efficient and, you know, not be wasteful, right?
Maybe, but I think you look at it, and they were so good in that first half. Like, they were 2-0 up. They should have gone on to finish that game. Like, realistically,
they were cruising, but they were good in that first half. But they were only like a 5 or 6 out of 10. I mean, Spurs were. We'll talk about Spurs in a minute, but they were absolutely woeful. So, City did play all right, but. Yeah, could have been more than two, couldn't it? Easy.
It should have been 4 or 5 going into half time,
yeah.
And that was City at like half-hearted, really.
Yeah,
Cherki was great. Semenya was good. Everyone else. I mean, I was watching the game with Gay. He sat on my bench, thinking, "What have I done here? Like, have I been completely blindsided by Spurs loyalty?" That I've benched 6 points here because we just didn't look like we're getting anywhere near the goal.
And what do you make of that the first Spurs goal then? Because that nearly went down as a Gay-he own goal, but in the end it's gone down as a Solanke goal.
I'm not sure it is a Solanke goal.
Well, whether it is or it isn't, it's a foul, right? It's a foul.
They looked at it for ages.
They did look at it for ages. And as usual with VAR, they've messed up again. I mean, Pep was absolutely fuming in his post-match. And because City have dropped points, I don't really care, so I'm quite happy about it. But in a cold light of day, if that's against my team and Solanke had gone through the back of Van Dijk, and rather, because I'm with you, I don't think Solanke does touch it.
No, he doesn't.
I think what happens is he kicks the back of Gay-he, and because Gay-he's been kicked, he and kicks it into the goal. It's a foul then, isn't it?
It's definitely, in my view, it's definitely a Gay-he own goal. And
well, it is, yeah, but it's a foul, so it's not a goal. It should be ruled out.
Yeah, probably. I mean, to be honest, I've only seen it twice. Once go live, and then once when they showed the replay on the screen. But to be honest, when they showed the replay on the screen, it was after VAR. So we were back celebrating again then, because we all celebrated.
Yeah, yeah.
The VAR was awful today. It was so long.
Oh, yeah.
We had 9 minutes of extra time. There were no injuries.
Mm.
It was because the VAR went on for such a long time. So we'd celebrated. We stopped for ages and we were like, oh God, what's going on? And I texted you, didn't I? And I was like, what is it looking like? Because they don't tell you anything in the ground.
Yeah.
And then they eventually give it. So we're celebrating again and the game kicks off and then they show the replay on the screens. And so I sort of half looked at it, but I was watching the match. So I haven't really seen it back, but on first glance, it happened in front of me. I was like, that's an own goal. Whether it's a foul or not, it sounds like it was. I haven't watched it back. Oh God, I sound like a manager. I haven't watched it back enough to comment. but I haven't watched it back enough to comment.
All right, Eddie,
but
now.
I do feel a bit like that. But you obviously have watched it more times because I'm pretty sure they would have shown it more times on Sky this afternoon.
I think it's a foul. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because I'm owning Gay-he, right? But I actually don't care. I'm glad City dropped points and I'm glad you got something out of it. But for me, it's a foul.
Yeah.
Whether you think it's a foul or not, that first goal.
Oh, the second
what
one.
What the bloody hell are we saying about this second goal? I mean, what's he doing there, Solanke? It was an unbelievable. Like, if he's meant it, and clearly he's meant it.
He's meant it.
Because he's flicked his leg there. Whether he's meant it to sort of flick into the top corner or not, I don't know. But, I mean,
there's multiple things to say about it.
It's an incredible goal if he's meant it. Incredible.
Well, there's multiple things to say because, one, Conor Gallagher, great.
Yeah, he did well in that build-up to that goal, didn't he?
He did great. He's great. I like him a lot. Thank you, Chelsea. I'm enjoying owning him. He's really nice. And that was a lovely bit of build-up play from him and to send the ball in the way that he did. And Solanke is just beautiful. In fact, little family life spoiler for you. When I came home with Evie last time against West Ham and you said to her, what was your favourite part of the Spurs game? What did she say?
She said the chips at half-time were good. Yeah.
And then what did she say today?
She said about the Solanke goal.
She said it was Mum's little face where that Solanke goal went in. And it was because I was like, oh, and there was no one sitting in front of me today. And I was so agitated during the second half that I sat with my feet like over the chair in front of me.
Right.
So when we scored, I couldn't get up quickly enough because my leg. and I was very loud and very annoying, and probably everyone around me was like, she's lost her plot.
Well, as Stewie Bazza is saying in the chat, that was a 0.04 XG chance from Solanke. It's crazy.
In fact, maybe this is an opportunity, Lee, to bring in my XG slide that I've made, because Spurs had an XG across this game of 0.17.
All right. Tell us what you think of this little slide, guys. If Sam has pulled this together, I quite like it. Team XG stats for game week 24. Chelsea at the top, Liverpool and Arsenal in second and third, as you can see on a graphic there. But yeah, Spurs, look, only mustering 0. So two goals, but obviously the own goal counts for nothing, right? And Solanke's was, as Stewie's saying, a 0.04 XG chance. So yeah, only mustering 0.17 XG Spurs today. But two goals.
And actually, probably could have had a third had Wilson Alderweireld not fallen over, inexplicably, in the box right at the death. So yeah, I mean, I find the... I don't know with you guys, but XG is something that I look at regular. Like, for me and...
Yeah, we like it, don't we? I think you're either a... You either love it or hate it. A bit Marmite, isn't it? Right. But I like it. I think it helps tell the story of the game, right?
And I think sometimes what I like to do is when I'm watching the games, particularly if I'm watching them back on Match of the Day and things like that, I think it gives you a real insight, because sometimes on Match of the Day, you know, you don't necessarily see the whole picture of the game. Whereas I feel like the XG does give you that, especially if they're not one of the big featured games. If you're just watching it and you get a short version, you don't see it. So from a Spurs perspective, like, I actually thought when I saw where we were on the XG stats for this week, I was like, oh, was it really that bad? And then I thought back to it and I was like, yeah, because we actually didn't have any opportunities. But we've scored two goals, but they've really come from nothing.
The challenge with Spurs, though, if I look at, and you'll see now on the fixture ticker if you're watching on YouTube, right, it's Manchester United away next, which is, you know, very tricky, right? Given that they've won three in a row now, only two more, and that lad can get his hair cut, right? Then it's Newcastle, Arsenal before London derbies against Fulham. Well, three London derbies in a row: Arsenal, Fulham, Crystal Palace, and then a trip to Anfield. The Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker, as you can see on screen, over the next six has them rock bottom, Spurs. Again. Rock bottom. So it's very, very difficult to invest. The question that I do want to ask you, though, Sam, if I go back to the XG stats, is look at City there, right? 0.88. So what are we saying about their attacking assets? We've all got Haaland. You and I have got Semenyo. I assume for you, Semenyo's going nowhere. He's certainly not for me. I think he's good value and he's over 40% owned, right? So every time he scores, if you haven't got him, it's a bit of a blow, isn't it? But Haaland now, I mean, I quite clickbaitingly put in the title about, you know, should we sell Haaland?
Did you?
But should we? I mean, what the hell's going on with this guy? That's now one goal in seven games for Haaland. City really not, as this graphic suggests, you know, racking up the XG, whereas you've got Chelsea with João Pedro top for XG, you've got Ekitike ripping it up now for Liverpool, who got you know, over 2.2 XG. I don't think many of us are going for Jokeres at Arsenal, although he did score this weekend, so, you know, maybe we are. What do you think? Should we even be entertaining this selling Haaland thing or not? Is it complete madness?
So to be honest, so when he gets the assist early on in this game, and I'm like, oh gosh, he's definitely going to kick on now. And this is, I've made the wrong call here by not captaining him.
Mm.
But after that moment, there was not a single moment where I was worried about Erling Haaland again.
Mm. But as S-Bam says in the chat, right, we don't need the money. That's why we're all keeping Haaland, is because we don't really need to sell him, do we?
Well, especially with Saka not playing this week because his hip injury picked up in the warm-up, Cole Palmer. I mean, you can go there, but you've got João Pedro and Enzo, who look actually better picks and are both significantly cheaper.
Salah's still not at it.
Yes, Bruno's there, but Bruno's probably most people's most expensive midfielder, and he's actually not that hard to get to. You can have him and Haaland together quite happily. I think that is why people still have him. I think is that, plus the fact that he is so heavily owned. So this week was the lowest captaincy tally since game week 16 for Haaland.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. So obviously,
so people asked. So as a whole FPL game, we are starting to move away from Haaland captaincy. Yeah. So people are starting to go against it.
Well, last week there were 7 million Haaland captains, just over 7 million.
Right.
This week there was 5.6 million.
Interesting.
So that's a big jump. That's 1.4 million managers moving away. Now, that 1.4 million is not this, it's not just us, the engaged little bubble of community that we have over here. That's a broader section of people that are doing that. So I think that's where people are changing their thoughts on Haaland. I don't think many people, rightly, as you're saying in the chat, I don't think many people are selling. And when you do look at the sale numbers, he was at points this week, he's ranged between being, he's always been in the top 10 most sold, but he ranged from being the third most sold to about the 10th by, I think, time the game week deadline passed.
Yeah.
But when you look at the numbers of people, because he is so heavily owned, the actual percentage of people that are selling him is very small. So in terms of the number of transfers out, it was high, but the percentage of his team owners that were selling, yeah, quite low. But I think what's telling is the move away from the captaincy.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, what we're really saying is, I'm going to have you.
We're hedging our bets.
I'm going to have you because, yes, I don't need to sell you and I don't need the money for somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to captain you because I think I can play the upside of somewhere else.
And when I look at game week 25, and we'll talk about our teams for next week for game week 25.
I'm not captaining him.
He's not my bus captain at the minute.
No, yeah, I'm not captaining him next
week.
He's
not. No, he's not for me.
In fact, right, I'd rather captain a Liverpool player against them.
Would you? All right. Well, let's discuss that then. So let's go straight from... Cool, this is an FPL family live stream, and it's straight from Spurs to Liverpool. Come on then. I can see
you're
you
not
all...
not going to talk about any Spurs players.
I can see you...
Okay.
Well, I think we concluded... Did we not conclude that the fixture... I mean, you're not, are you, with them fixtures, or are you? I mean...
No,
make a case for Solanke or no?
I would make a case for Solanke.
Would you? Go on then.
I thought he was great. He gets the ball, he works hard, his relationship with Xavi is improving. We don't have any of the... So the Champions League, we've not got to play knockout stages because we qualified automatically. I'm well happy about that. And not only that, we're not in the FA Cup anymore. Not so happy about that. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about any League Cup because we're out of that.
Look how happy you are, by the way.
What? We got the point
Spurs
today.
Spurs drew at home and look how happy you are.
Lee, this is a... This completely confirms my narrative that we are City's bogey team. I was saying that all week. I told everyone that I thought the midfielders would do better against us than Haaland, and they did.
I tell you what, at half time, I didn't know what I was going to say to you on this live stream tonight. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just thought, what am I going to say? I can't go. I was ready to go in. It was so bad.
It would probably have been best to just skip the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point is that I think you could make a case for Dom Solanke. Whether you would actually invest right now, I don't know. But we always score goals. We can be terrible like we were today. We can have no XG like we had today. But weirdly, we always do score goals.
You can't trust Solanke. The chat are right. You can't trust. Like, even today, he's rolled his ankle. So, okay, it doesn't sound as if it's too bad.
Nah,
but he's gone off.
Fine.
He's injured. You can't trust him.
Oh, He'd be fine. Xavi Simons was great today, by the way. Right. Don't invest, but he was great.
All right. Well, we're moving it on anyway. Liverpool 4, Newcastle 1. Speaking of terrible, not first halves of games. I mean, Spurs in that first half were pretty diabolical.
They were just diabolical.
Yeah, I mean,
it was absolutely awful.
Ditto Liverpool for 25-30 minutes here. It was absolutely tragic,
but
right?
Why?
Really tragic.
Because we were just dreadful. We always are. But what was your excuse?
Well, I thought Newcastle game plan was working out perfectly, right? Mm. If you look at the way Newcastle set up, they played in that kind of like that fight, sort of the five at the back, and City, they sort of sat deep when they didn't have the ball.
Yeah.
He played, and he came out after the game, didn't he, Eddie Howe? And he said, well, look, I wanted to play Gordon and Elanga and Barnes and all the quick players because what I wanted to do was sit and frustrate and hit them on the break quickly. It's like, yeah, yeah, that is how you beat Liverpool.
Well,
and if you can throw in the odd set piece and the long throw-ins, then even better because we're crap at defending them. And that's what they did for 25-30 minutes. And the game plan worked perfectly. Gordon gets the goal, but and when it went in, as much as I'm raging about it, I'm not like sitting there going, oh, we've been so unlucky there. No, what did I say? I said, we deserve to be losing.
Absolutely deserve
to be losing. Now, Gordon, that's Gordon's first open play goal for like since Gordon was a boy, isn't it? I mean,
something
ridiculous, isn't it, right? So the fact that it comes against us, I just, oh man.
It was either going to come against yours or mine, let's be frank.
Oh, yeah. I've got no love for Gordon, I'm afraid, given his background. But I just think... What?
I was like, given his background.
It just suddenly occurred
to me what you meant. I went, why did he grow up?
And the game earlier this season when he just absolutely dived in on Van Dijk. Do you remember that?
Was that last
season or when we last played him? And he did the same thing in the first half here. He dived in on Alisson, didn't he?
And then got
a yellow card. Absolute muppet. Anyway, after he scored... I don't know what happened, but the the lads just turned it on, right? The lads just turned it on. Throughout the whole game, that first 30 minutes, the defending was diabolical, by the way. I mean diabolical. There was one where Gravenberg just apologetically threw a leg out, and I think it was Gordon that went over, and then Barnes hit the post from the free kick.
I remember.
And you can tell I was fuming, because Gravenberg was just like, I'm like, mate, that's such an apology of a tackle. It's awful.
You did say that at the
time. And you give away a free kick there, and they've got players like Barnes and Gordon that can take them. It's like, what are you doing? But nevertheless, once we'd shaken off that lethargy and we got into our stride, then when the midfield started to click, then the fact Joe Linton and Bruno Guimaraes in particular weren't there, then you could tell the difference. And when Flo turned up, I mean, oh my God, like, this guy... So all the spreadsheet guys love him now, right? Because he's starting to tick over the goals and the assists. What did I say? When he first come in and he's like went 7 without getting any goals or assists, I sat here week after week saying, look, this guy is a baller. Unbelievable player. Unbelievable player. But now he's not only starting to get to grips with the league a bit more, he's starting to settle, right? Honestly, the crap around him is starting to get a bit more on his wavelength. And he's always been like, people just say, oh, Wirtz has suddenly decided to turn up. No. Wirtz has been there since day one. But now he's getting even better and even better and even better. And the relationship with Hugo Ekitike gives me, here you go, George, some positive hope for the future, right? I have absolutely zero hope about our defence until we do something about it, like get a signing in. How we've missed Gehi is unbelievable, right? But put that to one side, the future looks very bright. From an attacking perspective, mainly down to them two. It's Torres and Gerrard Mark II. Looks great.
What was really interesting for me today is that I sat here last week and was really annoyed by Salah's involvement in that game and the impact that it had on Wirtz and others, because it felt like they would get into these decent positions and then they just look, where's Salah? Send the ball to him.
Yeah.
Whereas it almost felt like somebody had said to them, no, if you're in a better position, you do not have to pass. You just do what you're going to do.
He still did it a couple of times.
If Salah's in a good position and you want to send the ball, do it. But when you're in the better position, you shoot. You take the shot.
Well, his goal is exactly that, isn't it?
Yeah. And as soon as that started happening, I was like, here we go. Here's my problem. Because now that's what had frustrated me last week. Now, I had no real choice this week, I didn't feel, with the fixtures the way that they were, but to sell Wirtz, because it was this game against Newcastle and the game against Man City. But I said on Sky and I said on Ohana, I was worried because they're two home fixtures against teams that will play, and I worried that Wirtz might actually just be able to just turn it on as long as he allowed himself and didn't feel constricted by Salah's presence, which is kind of how I felt he had been for the last couple of games, that he'd felt, I don't know, a bit like, I've got used to being the man here while you were away at AFCON. You've come back. Now I'm like...
Yeah, it's the big dog thing, isn't it? That mentioned
a little bit
last
of a bum fight going on there. Whereas I feel like it was very much Wirtz today. And you're 100% right in what you say.
He's building his confidence. That's the most important thing.
He is. And his relationship with Ekitike is great. I think that will only bode well for the future. I think as a Wirtz seller this week and as an Ekitike seller for you, I guess... you'll probably be similar. I knew that this was a short-term sell. Like, I'd sell for Newcastle and Man City. But after the double game week in game week 26, whichever way that plays out, maybe before, to be honest. Yeah. So if Chelsea turn it around on Tuesday night, I probably won't hold Rice.
Mm.
And if I'm not holding Rice, I'll just go back to Wirtz.
Yeah, that's what George is saying in the chat. Rogers to Wirtz, Sam.
Well, Rodgers can go to Wirtz.
You've got the money to do that, right?
Yeah, if you wanted to. So I can go Rodgers to Wirtz easily. That's no big deal. I can go Rice to Wirtz easily. That's no big deal. But obviously, I've got to wait and see what happens on Tuesday night in terms of Rice's position. But I'm not wed to holding Arsenal if they don't get the double in 26. If they get the double, I have to hold.
All right. Let's have a look at these the Liverpool fixtures then. They are reasonable. Of course, it's the City game up next. Right, game week 25. So City versus Liverpool at Anfield. And I have to say, having watched City in that second half, particularly in that second half against you lot, you know, struggling to deal with, you know, when you went a lot, much more direct, right? And I do think that I do think that Wirtz can get a hold of that midfield and Ekitike running in behind, right? You know, City are not going to be a team that sit back and defend, you know, low block against us. Nor were Newcastle really. I think they did in the first 30 minutes. Like I say, their game plan was there. That was their game plan to do that. But once we got a couple of goals, 2 in 3 minutes, they kind of had to come at us a little bit. And then, then it's like, well, we win 4-1. Yeah, because they come and attacked us. That's why I think we've got, here we go, a bit of Liverpool bias. We've got a really good chance of winning the Champions League. Because in the Champions League, no one low blocks. You know, it's just the Champions League. Not even Karabag that we played in a week, low block. Because they're so used to playing in Azerbaijan and being, you know, they're the team. They attack, that's what they do. They're the champions. They're not coming to the Champions League in low blocking. They just don't know how to. It's not in their DNA. It's not in European championship winning teams' DNA to low block. So, of course, we go through a competition like that where we're not facing a Burnley or a Leeds doing that every week. And we've got every chance. We're playing really, really well. Same with you lot. You're the same. You struggle to break down a low block. It's similar.
When I watched the draw happen for the Champions League and I realised that we were on opposite sides, I realised this could be a repeat of our Champions League final against each other, because that's the only time we can meet now, isn't it, on the opposite sides of the draw. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that most of the English sides have got a very, very good chance in the Champions League because of that, because we all benefit from other teams playing against us. So yeah, absolutely. Arsenal the same. You, us. I don't think Man City will win it. I don't think Newcastle will either. Sorry. Chelsea have got a chance as well because of the way that they play, particularly if he stops playing half the game with his hands tied behind his back.
Are you guys saying like, oh, not sure about that, Liverpool can't win the UCL? Guys, I'm telling you, any Premier League team can win the UCL. The Premier League is so much stronger than any other league. Mm. So much stronger.
Well, we see that from the fact that 5 of the top 8 were English sides.
Yeah, Arsenal went through it conceding just like a handful of goals and won 8 out of 8.
Game, yeah.
It's any Premier League team can win the UCL, right? No doubt about it. But the Liverpool fixtures, it's City, then it's Sunderland away, Forest, West Ham, Wolves, and then Spurs. So it doesn't look too bad, right? The Scout boys and girls have them Liverpool ranked at 4th. You're thinking about getting Wirtz back in. I am too, actually. Him or Ekitike, I haven't decided yet. A lot is going to depend on what happens with that double game week, right? And unless you've been living under a rock, guys, you'll know that the second leg of the League Cup semi-final is coming up on Tuesday, right? It's Arsenal versus Chelsea. We then do have Newcastle versus Manchester City on the Wednesday, which is the other side of the draw.
We don't know about that as a double yet, though.
But that, what happens in that game, we don't know how that's going to affect doubles and blanks, right? But what we do know is that if Arsenal carry on their form in that and they do win that second leg and they go through to the final of the Carabao Cup, they will have a double in game week 26.
They will.
And if they don't do that and Chelsea find a way to turn it round, which the bookies don't say is going to necessarily happen, but listen, stranger things have happened, right? The way Chelsea are playing all right. Then Chelsea will get a double in game week 26. And if Arsenal do it, then Wolves will as well. And if Chelsea do, then Everton will as well, right? So there's one of the big bits of advice we have to give tonight is like, if you absolutely have to spend a transfer now, then fine, but absolutely hold it if you can until Tuesday, because once that game plays out, we will know a lot more about a big double game week coming very, very soon in game week 26, right? And if you're not on your free Arsenal, you're not on your free Chelsea, you might want to do that.
And I suspect that actually if Manchester City win that game, that they will also get their double put in 26, because it makes sense to get the Champions League ones done early. I think with Newcastle, it's a bit more up in the air because obviously they have to go through the playoffs and all of that stuff before they get to the round of 16. I think that's why that one wasn't announced.
Yeah.
But yeah, it absolutely makes sense, because I think the way, for most managers, Ekitike and Wirtz were very heavily sold. And I think like me, most managers who sold their Liverpool assets this week weren't doing it because they didn't want to have their Liverpool assets anymore. They were literally, it was a fixture play. I need to have Bruno Fernandes for the next couple of weeks, or I need to have João Pedro or whoever else it was for the next couple of weeks. Mm. So it was a kind of forced hand, because it was the only way to get these players in, because you clearly weren't going to sell Haaland and there's probably not many other routes in your team. Whereas I was looking at it immediately, and I think I said on Ohana, like, I'm already thinking about what is my re-entry point for Wirtz. How do I get him back in? Because after the Manchester City game, and by the way, had it not been for Bruno Fernandes' fixtures over the last couple of, or the next few weeks, I'd have just held Wirtz through the Newcastle and Man City games. Like, that, the games themselves didn't put me off.
No.
It was just Bruno that was kind of putting me off, if you like. So I wouldn't necessarily have an issue with people wanting to bring him in even for this week. But going into the game against Sunderland in 26, and then through those fixtures, because it's Sunderland away, so maybe there's a case for waiting, because Sunderland at home are quite decent.
Sure.
But after that, the fixtures are great for a long time for Liverpool, and so I think you need an entry point, and it's okay. going to come down to, do you sell Chelsea midfield, do you sell Arsenal midfield, or if you want to go for Ekitike, how okay. do you sell and who do you sell up top?
All right, well, let's move it on, because we've only done two games, Sam, and it's Spurs and Liverpool, in a shock to no one. And
well,
we're about,
well,
about
so,
45
you know.
Minutes in. Let's go talk about another team that played very well this weekend, at least in the second half, which was Chelsea. Chelsea 3, West Ham 2. Listen, I bought in a couple of Chelsea players this week. I bought in Enzo just because I think he's a pretty good short to medium term hold through these fixtures, right? And those of you that have been living under a rock will know that this West Ham at home game was the first of four what looks like generationally good fixtures for Chelsea, right? I mean, it's the run of the season for them. Which could contain a double if they can turn it around in the League Cup. So in my mind, I was like, well, I'm gonna get on Chelsea because. You know, even if it's just the four single game weeks, I want them. If there's a double there as well, then that's a bonus, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah,
right? So I got in João Pedro for Ekitike, which I do have obviously a little bit of regret on now. But with these fixtures coming up and the potential double, and the fact that actually him coming on in this game was a big reason why they turned this around, right? We mentioned it at the top of the podcast, right? They didn't look great in the first half at all, particularly on that side while Garnacho was playing. And it just looked just infinitely better, and the shape was just so much better when the three of them come on at half time. What did you make of this game then? What did you, because you got Enzo in this week as well, right?
No, I've had him.
Oh, you got him for a couple of weeks?
I've
okay.
had him for 3 weeks now.
Okay.
The first half Chelsea were dreadful. They were absolutely, it was a game of two halves actually, like the Spurs game today. They were woeful. Mm. They made West Ham look peak. Like, particularly
West Ham played well. I mean, you're doing a bit of West Ham, a bit of a disservice there.
No. Maybe, no, but right. but I think they were allowed to look good, because like Wan-Bissaka looks outstanding, and I know on his day he can be good, but his relationship with Bowen and the way that they played, they were allowed to play like that. They were allowed to play like that because Garnacho and Hayter were just awful. They were so bad, and Garnacho just flinging his arms around. If there was ever a player that didn't look like he was trying to play his way into a team, it was him
yeah.
in this one. So the first half, West Ham are great. They're performing really well. But the second half, it is entirely different, because you see towards the back end of the second half, Simo had sent the Chelsea substitute warm-up. This is João Pedro and Correa and a couple of others. And they run back to the bench about 2 minutes before the whistle blows. And he's like, get ready, you're all coming on. And the commentator, because I think it was Neville, I can't remember who it was now, he says, oh, he's just literally said to them, you're coming on, because you could see him say it to
yeah.
them. And you were like, okay, well, there's got big changes for the second half. Well, it instantly paid off.
Do you like Liam Rossignol?
I don't really know what I make of him at the minute, because it's almost like he gives everyone a 45-minute head start and then they have to play catch-up all the time. And you could see the Chelsea fans' frustration in that first half, because they are a good team. They've got really good players in that team. And all right, they were without Estevao because they had to go back to Brazil for family reasons and various other things. But to start this game, it showed a lot of disrespect to West Ham.
Ask me what I think of him.
It showed a lot of disrespect to West Ham to start with seven players different. I don't know. Second half, he was good, though. The changes were good. Go on.
I like him. I like him a lot.
What?
I like him a lot.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
As
never like things about Chelsea.
Well-seasoned Chelsea hater, and Kingdom FC and plenty of others will testify to this on here every Sunday night. I like him.
I
like
him.
Where are you going?
Just getting a tissue because I've got blowing
nose. Oh, right, okay. I like him a lot, right? Listen, he's learned a lot about his squad in that first 45, no doubt about it. He's not dicking about. Even before he gets his team in for half-time, right, I'm going to make these changes. And he made them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's decisive. You know, and the way that he's coming across in his post-match press conferences, I think, is very good as well. The way he talks about his team. He's clearly trying to instill, and it's working, right? He's trying to instill confidence in his team. Everyone's world-class. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Yeah,
but everyone's world-class. He's blowing smoke up absolutely everyone's ass. But it's working. I mean, I don't. Time will tell whether he's a top manager or not. But right now, he's come in there. He's got a young group of players who are obviously very, very talented. He's just telling them how great they are all the time. We know from, and this is very different, and I'm not comparing London Colney Youth Under 12 Tigers to Chelsea Football Club, but when you get into a young group of players like that and you just tell them how great they are all the time and give them confidence, right? What's the one thing we always do on Sunday League, right? We don't have a coach from the sidelines because why the hell would they listen to us? I've not done any coaching badges. I haven't got a bloody clue. So we just, as parents, we just encourage, right? Yeah. It's all about encouragement. And what Rossini has gone, he's gone in there and he's just gone in and he's just telling them how great they are. And they're going, oh, yeah, actually, we are quite good. Yeah. And he's making decisive tactical changes when he needs to make it. I like him.
But
I like him.
What I don't like is this, like, the last two games, he sent out teams.
He's been there 5 minutes. He's learning about his squad. Do you not think after that 45 minutes, he's got his notebook out, he's gone, Garnacho shit, hasn't he? He's learning about his squad. Hasn't he? He's given him a chance and he's been crap. And poor old Jared Hatto, who's a 19-year-old kid playing at fullback, has got absolutely, like, talk about Trent being exposed. Garnacho, I've never seen a guy want to run back less in my life. No wonder Hatto looks a little bit out of his depth because he's...
A little bit out of his depth.
Sammy's 19 and he was doubled up on by... Wan-Bissaka and Bowen have been in the league for years. Seasoned professionals. He's been there 5 minutes. He's 19, he's a kid. And they were doubling up on him.
All I know is that was... I was going to say the worst performance in the first half I've seen this season, but it wasn't. It was the second worst performance I've seen in the first half this season because then I watched Spurs today. But I don't know. Look, I did like what he did at halftime. I like the fact he was prepared to make the changes. I do like the positivity that comes from him. That is novel. I like that. I like the fact he's not moaning and complaining. I like the fact that he owns it. He says it wasn't good enough. I make a decision. I like that.
I like him.
What I don't like is the fact that you've made seven changes. Make three, make four, sure. But don't make seven. That's never going
to
work.
All right. Well, like I said to you before, that might not be his decision, right? But I like him. And that worries me a bit as a Liverpool fan. And historically, I'm not supposed to like Chelsea. It feels a bit weird. I feel a bit weird. I don't feel comfortable in my own skin at the moment. I'm like, quite like this guy at Chelsea. And actually, the way that they come back there and like the way that, you know, and maybe it's because I had João Pedro and Enzo Fernandes in my team, right?
Well, so
maybe
that's
probably why it is. But, you know, just the confidence of João Pedro to get on the end of that and head it down into the ground and into the corner was just a great goal. Enzo popping up, crashing the box as an eight, right? You know, wasn't quite playing in the 10 as we would have liked because Palmer's there. I didn't rate Palmer's performance at all, by the way.
Actually, yeah.
But then doesn't matter. Enzo's playing a little bit deeper in the eight. Doesn't matter. Crashing the box in the last minute. And then they're, you know, winding West Ham up and Tadebo's grabbing João Pedro by the throat and all sorts, isn't he? So
how did that take so long to VAR, by the way?
Because there was a lot to sort out, right? And probably, like I said to you at the time, they were trying to let it calm down, right? So, did you see Tadebo? Looked like he was going to kill somebody. If the ref had gone over to him and went, right, you're off, mate, Tadebo would have literally slapped him, I think. He was letting it all, the refs, to be fair to the refs, bloody hell, what's wrong with me tonight? I'm being positive about Chelsea and I'm going to say something positive about the referees. They took their time over that VAR call, not because it wasn't obvious to sort out. He's choked João Pedro. It's clearly a red for violent conduct. But what the ref did was just let it all calm down a little bit.
Who are you and what have you done with my husband?
I know. I'm being nice about refs and about
Chelsea. I've left you for an afternoon.
What the hell?
I've come home. And now you're being nice about refs and Chelsea.
I don't know.
Do you want to say something nice about Everton or is that a step too far?
No, we ain't going there.
What about Man United? You got something nice to say about them?
I thought they were good United.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll do that in a minute. Chelsea assets, though. Can we trust... And by the way, we're at 55 minutes. We're spending too long on each of these games.
It's because you're loving everyone today.
What do you make of their defence? I can't trust the defence.
Well, that's why I didn't invest on wild cards. And yeah. I won't invest now because I don't trust them as far as they can throw them.
Yeah.
And they've got Spurs next and we always score.
Spurs have got Chelsea next,
oh, no,
have they?
That's no. Man United.
No. All right.
No, Chelsea have got that beautiful run of fixtures coming up.
Yeah, Wolves, Leeds and Burnley. I was going to say you don't feature in that, although that would be an extra beautiful fixture coming up. So Chelsea 3, West Ham 2.
That's not very nice, is it? Why have you said that?
Good game. Really enjoyed that game. Another game that I enjoyed. Yeah, Manchester United 3, Fulham 2.
You're going to have to talk about this one because I didn't see it.
What would I make of this game?
What happened in this game? Because we were watching, not watching, I was sort of watching the, I wanted to call it a video printer, is that right? the tech stuff. I was watching
Gillette Soccer Saturday.
No, I was watching the you know, the game thing on.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm sat in the stands, aren't I? So I can't watch the game, but I could have stood on the terrace, but Evie didn't want to stand on the terrace in the rain. So we sat in the ground. And I'm watching the tech stuff come through, and it's like, this has happened, like the description.
Right. What app are you using for this?
SofaScore and also the BBC.
Okay.
And it seemed to be all Manchester United until suddenly Fulham were level.
Yeah. Well, United were great, right? First things first, United played well, no doubt about it. Embuemo, if you're an Embuemo owner this week, you are bang unlucky, I think.
Oh, really?
I think you're bang unlucky, yeah, because he got in a couple of times, a couple of saves from the keeper. He goes off towards the end with, we're not really sure what the injury is at the moment. Yeah, he did, hobbled off a bit at the end. So, not really sure what that looks like, whether it's a bad one or not. But obviously, it's the reason Sesko comes on, right? So, I don't know whether Carrick would have bought Sesko on if Embuemo hadn't hobbled off.
Interesting.
But he did the business. Sesko got the winner, but up until that point, listen, United were very, very good. Raul scores a really nice penalty. It probably is a penalty, I'll give him that one. Kevin scores like a worldie, like it's an amazing goal, right? Okay. Absolutely amazing goal. And of course Fulham are absolutely loving it, because they've been not in the game for absolutely ages.
Okay.
Got two goals in quick succession. They think they're getting it. I mean, Kevin scores in the 90 something plus minute, right? It's like, it's a draw, Old Trafford, it's amazing. But this is a new Manchester United.
Bit of resilience.
This is a new Manchester United that have got a bit of character, Sam. Bit of character. How often in the past would that have petered out into a 2-2?
Mm.
No, without a doubt would have petered out to a 2-2. United would have just, if anything, they would have been panicking about Fulham coming in attacking and maybe them getting the 3-2. But not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. Very, very good indeed. That's now 3 wins out of 3 for Carrick. And listen, they've all been pretty good games. Not saying that this was no, by no means an easy game. Fulham were pretty good in this game, but United just, it's a newfound resilience. And Casemiro as well, right? Casemiro was fantastic. It's a shame he's not 2 or 3 years younger, Casemiro, and he was a little bit more at his peak, because he can't last a game, can he? He can't do more than about an hour, 70 minutes. I don't know how long he did here, but it certainly wasn't the 90. But fantastic. Really, really good. The Cunha goal was really good. I've got Bruno in my team. I've got Dorgu, which obviously needs sorting out. There is a case, Sam. There is a case for getting either Embuemo or Cunha. Now, we've got to wait to see what the Embuemo injury looks like. But what's going to happen is that, as we've said before, and we've said on the Ohana on Thursday, is that those 5 midfield slots are really precious to us. There's a lot of midfielders we want. So to have 2 Manchester United,
particularly as they can't double, because they're out of everything, so they're not going to double in 26.
Yeah.
So to take 2 midfielder slots with a team that definitely can't double in 26, particularly when Chelsea are performing well and Arsenal are performing well, it's very hard to take out 2 slots with Cunha and Bruno. Despite the fact it's quite easy to own them both financially, it's quite hard, I think, to do.
Yeah, but listen, Cunha's, you know, now with the Dorgu, you know, Dorgu's out now for reportedly sort of 10 weeks. Who was looking, if not locked on that left-hand side, he was certainly looking like the preferred option. Cunha's going to hit game time now. He's going to get game time. And they were very, very good indeed. Very
good.
Would
you get Cunha over Mbombo if Mbombo's fit?
That is a real tricky one. It's a really tough one. Based on what I saw today, I probably would still go in Brumo. Like I say, he was a threat. He was a threat, no doubt. And if he's playing in that 9, they're going to come up against teams like Leeds, like Burnley, that are going to sit in, and then Brumo's going to find it difficult. And it wouldn't shock, would it? It would not shock me if Carrick then puts Sesko in those games, or he puts a more, you know, let's just say, kind of on paper number 9,
okay,
and maybe Embuemo goes right, maybe, right? Mm-hmm. But for teams that are, you know, not going to sit there, and Fulham are not a kind of sit-back team necessarily, not all the time, then...
Well, Spurs certainly won't sit back next week, because we can't.
Well, probably not.
We'll play.
Probably not.
So I think you're right in what you say. If Embuemo's fit, he could do well against us next week.
He absolutely could, yeah. Particularly if Romero's injured, right? And Van der Ven's not back.
Apparently Romero was ill, I read.
Bullshit, but okay.
Didn't look ill.
You're gonna need Mickey back against Embuemo, because Embuemo in behind with that pace is lightning.
He's supposed to be back, isn't he?
Yeah.
For next week.
You're gonna need him back. All right, let's move it on. United very, very good indeed. Arsenal, Leeds 0, Arsenal 4. I've been nice about Chelsea and Manchester United. Time for you to be nice about Arsenal if you can do that.
I feel like like I always have to be nice about Arsenal. Yeah. I always have to come on here and be nice about Arsenal because they
statement
are playing really
win.
Well.
Statement
and,
win.
And do you know what? I felt like this might be a bit of a banana skin potential one for Arsenal here. Not that I thought they'd lose the game. I thought that they'd probably end up winning the game, but I didn't...
Not four, though.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't expect this to be quite the parade that it was. It was very much the Arsenal show. And especially when Saka gets injured in the warm-up and then hobbles off.
Well, I think if you're a Saka owner, you can, again, feel pretty aggrieved. A bit like if you've got Mbeumo and Saka and Mbeumo this week... You're bang unlucky because there's two really expensive assets there that perhaps should have had something. And then from Mbeumo perspective, I watched it. He was unlucky. He had chances. You might sit here and say, well, Lee gets injured in a warm-up. So what are you talking about? But I'm telling you, if Saka played that game, I mean, a lot of the creativity was coming from Madueka on that side.
Yeah,
right?
And actually the goal accreditation panel have taken the own goal and given it back to Madueka. So that will be updated later on
tonight, in
the game.
Oh, okay,
fair enough. Really extra points. So I think you're right in what you've just said. You know, Saka's going to start that game. If Saka starts that game, he's in the position that Madueka is in. You would expect, therefore, that he picks up. The game doesn't play out exactly the same way, of course, but you would expect that Saka would pick up a similar level of points to what we've got from Madueka here. I was very impressed by Arsenal in this one. I thought they were defensively astute. They were solid. No real massive causes for concern.
Are you getting on with Timber or no?
Why? What, because of the bookings?
Well, he is very expensive. He doesn't like a DEFCON.
Yeah, but to be fair...
And he does love a yellow.
DEFCONs weren't hit massively in this game anyway.
Mm.
And that's in part because Leeds can do a lot of attacking. So you actually need a team to attack you if you're going to get defensive contributions because you have to defend in order
Gabriel
to get them.
Gone.
Yeah, I know. But like when you look, like Rice didn't get them and Rice gets them all the time. Like the midfielders weren't picking them up. The defenders weren't generally. Gabriel gets them, but Gabriel does everything, doesn't he?
I think with Tim, he had chances this game. Though. That's what frustrated me a little bit. It's just like, okay, it's a 5-pointer, but...
It's
what could have been in this game. He got into positions and you're just like... And he has flattered to deceive a little bit because he's doing that the last few weeks. He's getting into positions and you're just like, holy shit, how's this guy not double-digit hauling every week? And I feel like with him, the minute I sell him, there's a 15-pointer. Do you know what I mean?
But I also think that, you know, most people have already got Gabriel now.
Mm.
And it's another one of those with Haaland, isn't it, right? The only way to really kind of make Haaland work for you is to captain him. And actually now, the only way to make Haaland work for you is to not captain him and go for somebody else because he's so heavily owned. In this one, if you've got Gabriel, the only way to differentiate that Arsenal defence is to have two of them.
Yeah.
And the fixtures are good. And this one, I didn't necessarily expect a clean sheet in this one. I thought that there might be... I thought Leeds at home, you know, they score goals. I thought maybe they might be a bit better than they were, to be honest.
Arsenal
were really, really good. They were really good. I felt a little bit aggrieved that I didn't get more out of Timber and Rice. I did on a different day. They both probably get something.
There's a little bit of concern about Rice now in the FPL community. He's not necessarily picking up the points on the regular like he was a few weeks ago. Although even a few weeks ago, we had the dodgy, I remember the sort of O'Brien playing netball or playing volleyball, whatever it was, when he sort of handballed that Declan Rice corner for the penalty.
And then there was an own goal.
So he kind of jammed points, didn't he, for a couple of weeks. And then we sat here and went, well, you know, he's still in those positions. He's taking the corners. So if he wants to jam some points, we're happy about it.
And also,
but maybe we've had a bit of a regression to the mean over the last 4 weeks, right? Because he's maybe been overperforming his XA a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But then equally, they've got a double game week probably coming up in 26.
Yeah, so you're not
and
selling
I,
him,
and
yeah.
I think, you know, if like I said before, if Chelsea go through, if Chelsea beat Arsenal on Tuesday evening and end up being the ones that go and play probably Manchester City in the League Cup final...
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be a conversation to have around Rice and you will look at it because you'll have to because these midfielder spots are so important. Now, maybe you give Rice game week 25 and then you swap him for Verts in game week 26. But if Rice doubles in game week 26, then you have to hold him. And I think it'll be after 26 in the double. Maybe that's the moment where we start to think about, well, should we get an exit plan for Rice? And does it perfectly... Yes is the answer, by the way, align with getting Verts back in for Liverpool because the Liverpool fixtures at that point onwards look great.
All right.
Plus the fact that obviously if they do double in 26, they're also going to blank later on. So we just have to be mindful of how the next few weeks pan out, but I'm not doing anything with Rice until Tuesday evening's panned out.
All right, Sun at home next, so you're definitely keeping for that. And then 26, like you said, potential double. You've got your three Arsenal, haven't you? You've got Gabriel and Timber and Rice.
I have.
I've got two. I've got Gabriel and Timber, and I took Saka out for Bruno Fernandes, one of my many transfers this week.
That worked.
So I do have... Well, it did work, yeah. But more importantly, it does give me a little bit of... flexibility.
Do?
Well, this is the question, isn't it? This is the question. That's why it's super interesting. If, you know, if Saka is if it's a niggle, as is being suggested, and he's coming back next week, then, you know, I probably won't go there because I think it messes up my, you know, team structure too much to get him in there. Although with a bit of tinkering, Rodgers to Saka could work. So I've got some money in the bank, but it would mean a minus four probably. But if Saka's out for a bit,
Madueke.
Maybe Madueke for the double is not like terrible, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Maybe not.
It's not awful.
It's a hip, wasn't it, with Saka?
Yes, I think something like that. Yeah, something like that. Mm. And if we look at 26, if you look at so City's fixtures at home to Fulham, so yeah, okay, you can talk about, you know, having Haaland captain again if you want. But the reality is most of us, I think, are going to go for an Arsenal player if they double in 26. And at the minute, sitting there with just them two, pretty good chance we're going to captain Gabriel in game week 26.
I think I probably will as well, yeah.
Pretty much. However, if Saka's out for a bit and it looks like Madueke is going to play those two games in 26, is Madueke captain in 26? I mean, it's not. There's a lot of things
Did
that got to happen.
Did you ever think that you would sit
no,
here?
No, of course not. But again, I'm talking about, you know, taking risks and going against the grain a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the moment, it would look like Gabriel for me, I think. But I don't know. I certainly, and that's why I ask you about the Rice performance, because I don't know if I'd want to double. Would you want to captain Rice in double game week 26? It's not terrible, is it? But it's not terrible.
But
uninspiring.
I think I'd rather go
seen.
Gabriel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Leeds, from that perspective, you've got DCL. What are you doing?
I wanted to sell DCL this week to go for João Pedro, but one that would have caused me a massive benching headache,
mm-hmm.
And two, I just wasn't convinced that João Pedro was going to start. Now,
okay,
he didn't, and that was right. But I almost certainly will sell Calvert-Lewin this week for João Pedro, because now okay. I am expecting João Pedro to start the game against Wolves. But obviously, I'll just wait until Tuesday evening's done and just make sure he makes it through the game, because what I don't want is to end up in a Dorgu situation.
Yeah, thanks for that. All right, so since we're talking about forwards and we're talking about cheap DCL forwards, let's talk about another cheap forward who is looking anything but cheap at the minute, right? He took a price rise last night up to 4.7. What a goal, Mr. Croupy Jr. for Bournemouth against Wolves. Now, for those of you that have got the Bournemouth clean sheet this week, and I put you in this bracket as well, congratulations, but bloody hell, Wolves were right in this game. Let me tell you, Wolves created, hit the woodwork a couple of times, missed a couple of chances. On another day against a team that can actually finish their chances, Bournemouth clean sheet does not stick here. But if you did have Hill, or if you had Senesi, Then fair dues. You actually did all right out of this game because you had Senesi and Croupy Jr., right? So this was a good game for you in FPL.
It really was.
Mm.
And it was one of those where when these games were playing out, the 3 o'clocks, Lee... Should I tell them the story? I'm going to tell
story?
Them anyway. So I said to Lee, did you play Tarkowski?
Oh, yeah.
About 2 minutes before the Everton clean sheet went. And Lee was like, don't ask me that question. Don't want to talk
you
about
it.
And
you bet you blatantly, you absolutely jinxed it.
Yeah, so he was across with me because apparently it was my fault that Everton conceded.
You asked me about did I play Tarkowski, and literally 60 seconds later you concede. It's 100% your fault.
So then I went about 20 minutes, 10 minutes later, I went to ask him, did you play for Bruggen? And then I stopped myself.
Why are we talking about this game? I don't want anyone to... It's got emotional damage from this game.
Because I think you tried to do the same, because you said... Have you played Senesi 2 minutes later? I think you were trying to get the reverse luck with me getting my clean sheet worked out as well.
Okay.
But Senesi, look, I was very happy with this game. It worked really well for me. Senesi has been increasingly dropping in ownership. Well, over the last couple of weeks, he's gone up a little bit again. But he has been acted as a bit of a differential pick for me this week. Did well, improved my rank because of him. Obviously, he's a DEFCON monster who loves to pick them up. But I do think that James Hill is a really nice, viable alternative for...
Well, have a look at these fixtures, right? It's Villa at home next. Everton, West Ham, Sunderland, Brentford, Burnley. The Fantasy Football Scout ticket has them top Bournemouth over the next six. Now, Villa at home, not an easy game. But as you rightly say, Senesi is a DEFCON monster. And James Hill, we have to give him a shout out, really, because he's that bit cheaper than Senesi. He's 3.9 Hill. I mean, it's unbelievable. And he's hit, I think, five out of his last six games DEFCON. Yep. So he's matching Senesi pound for pound right now.
The
now,
listen, easiest he Dorgu replacement?
Yeah, probably. Mm. Yeah, probably. I'm looking at it going, well, that's probably the least sexy transfer I've made this season. Dorgu to Hill. But Dunharf make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does make a lot of sense. So just have him there, 3.9, great value, roll him out when I need him, bench him when I don't. Yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
If there came a time where I really needed a million, that would be where I would take it.
Yeah. I think so. Talk to me about Bournemouth from an attacking perspective, though. Kroupy's looking like... Well, I don't know, Mane in this game, right? I thought Mane was pretty good. He had one ruled out for offside, and it was in the build-up, so you can't, you know, it wasn't as if it was even that close, I don't think, that offside call. But still, he's in that position to score the goal. If Arsenal do end up beating Chelsea on Tuesday, then, of course, Mane will have a double game week in game week 26. So maybe he is still looking like maybe one to have. But I think in the battle of the cheap third forward, I think Kroupy, for the longer term... He's looking pretty nailed on, I think. If you want to go for Mane in the short term because of that double, I don't mind it. But Kroupy looks like the one to have. He's going to get game time, isn't he? And even Areola in his post-match was talking about how, you know, he was talking about the relationship between Kroupy and Evan Ilson. He was talking about what the team benefits from when they play together.
Yeah.
And in that post-match, there wasn't a bit of me that just thought, oh, is it one or the other? A lot of what Areola was saying for me was... Them playing together is great for the team.
He kept talking about how do we play... Kroupy's been playing so well, we have to think about how we play them together.
Yeah.
Which was, as a Kroupy owner, perfect.
Great.
That's exactly great. What I want. Because I don't... What the problem we had with Guiu is that we had this cheap forward who was great for enabling, as in you could free the budget, but doesn't play.
No.
Whereas totally. With Kroupy... I mean, the part of the problem with Kroupy now is that as your cheap forward... He's the one you should want to bench every week because he's the cheap one.
Yeah, but with them fixtures.
But with them fixtures, yeah. I'm going to struggle to bench him, which is why doing Dominic Calvert-Lewin to João Pedro is a bit of a problem for me because it's going to have an impact on Kroupy's minutes.
Yeah, who'd you bench? Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. And I do want to give a shout out to Ryan as well. He come on not for very long, but when he was on the pitch...
It's good, wasn't he?
Have they got another gem here, Bournemouth? I don't know how they do it, Bournemouth, but... Is this another gem here? I don't know. He's played at Vasco da Gama, young player. When he come on, he doesn't look 18. I've never seen this kid.
He does not
look like a teenager. He looks like a 30-year-old monster. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, where have they found this dude? Bombing down the wing. The assist he gets, it's not as if he's picked it up and just crossed it in.
No.
He's held off a defender.
Good.
He's got whipped it across.
Yep.
What conclusions can you make in that short period of time is a very knee-jerk reaction, but I'm looking at him saying, I think he's got potential, this lad, really has. And at 5.5 in FPL, does make you think.
Mm-hmm.
Does make you think whether we're in a world where we don't need a cheap midfielder, right? And then those five midfielders slots, as we've said many, many times, you know, we've got the Brunos, we've got Enzo Fernandez. Rodgers is a bit of a question mark, but you maybe have your Liverpool midfielder, you've got your Arsenal midfielder. We're blessed with options, right? None of us are thinking, oh, I might have to save a bit of money by going Ryan from Bournemouth. But listen, no one's got him because he's just come in. He's 0.0% owned. Fixtures are there. I mean, if you're chasing your mini leagues, it's worth a look. It's definitely worth a look. I mean, Iriola's probably going to bleed him in. He's going to not just start him out the blue, is he? So it's probably not a pick, right? I'm waffling. But he looked great. He looked really, really good. Last few games, Sam, because we're already way over time, as usual.
We should probably just have a comment on Morgan Rodgers and...
Yeah,
Aston
let's not
Villa.
Do Brighton-Everton, because I had two defenders in that game and I was sick as a dog when that Verbruggen clean sheet got wiped out in the 96th minute. Absolutely disgusting, that from Everton. Do not want to talk about it. What did you want to discuss? Morgan Rodgers, go on then.
I mean, I haven't seen this one, but all I can say is I was, again, tracking this one through you know, different medias and looking at the traction lines. It did seem like it was all Villa. you weren't watching this either, were you? Because Manchester United were on.
Correct, yeah.
But I just think it's kind of fascinating because obviously on Thursday evening, I was very, very impressed by Aston Villa. They do seem to struggle against 10 men. I know that's a really weird comment to make, but they do seem to struggle to break down the 10 men. And when I looked, I was trying to find the evidence to back that up before I came, and I haven't had the time to look for it properly. But I'm pretty sure that they don't win very often or don't pick up the points very often when they're playing against 10 men.
But okay.
So obviously that's kind of not relevant because we won't see that very often in the game. But as somebody that sold Florian Wirtz instead of Morgan Rogers, and that was the toss-up I had going into this week, and in the end I decided that I probably needed to hold Rogers for the next couple of weeks. Now I'm looking at that thinking, oh, I really wish I'd have made the opposite decision. Yeah. However, I've done it now. I can see if Rogers doesn't pick up, like if we don't start seeing a bit more traction, because he's been a bit frustrating the last few weeks, hasn't he? We've had points, but not as... It does feel a little bit like his points dodged at the same time.
Well, listen, it was last Premier League game. He was phenomenal. He got an 8-pointer and he absolutely ran the show.
But it's just an 8-pointer when he ran the show. And the week before he got nothing and he ran the show and he was fantastic. And I still don't know how he didn't get any points. And I said on, I think off the bench last week, that if you know, that's what you want from an FPL asset in some ways, because at least you know they're involved in the game and their XG is good and their XA is good and all of that stuff. So that should mean points come. But this feels like yet another week where probably we should be getting something out of Watkins. Now, how long do you stick with somebody that's got the numbers but not the big returns, given that there are so many other good FPL assets in the game? I don't think you're going to sell ahead of next week.
Well, let's have a look at the fixture, shall we?
Mostly because Liverpool have got Manchester City. But afterwards, I can see me wanting to swap back to Wirtz.
So it's Bournemouth, Brighton, Leeds and Wolves up next. So the fixtures are pretty good. There's no doubt about it. The fixtures are there for Rodgers. I think we have to give some props to Brentford. I mean, listen, there's, you know, as you can see in here, right? So Kelleher, 5 saves. Top bonus for Kelleher. Underlying BPS system. Kelleher, 37. I mean, not a shock, is it? Not a shock. He had an absolute storm at a goalkeeper. No doubt about it. But they dug in. I think Villa did have one. They scored, but it got ruled out for offside. The point that I've made before in on a Sunday, and I'll come back to it, is that I do think that central midfield spot is so important for them, right? I noticed that Onana was on the bench to start today. Didn't start. Didn't come on, actually, either. So that is a question mark about his fitness. There has to be. And usually, if Onana doesn't play, then McGinn plays. And he's not as effective as Onana, I don't think. But he does a good enough job there, right? But if neither of those two play, they do struggle. They struggle, Villa. It's like taking the keystone out in the middle of a bridge, right? It's like taking the linchpin out.
Yeah.
And I do think that they struggle. And I'm not taking anything away from Brentford because they must have been. I've got to watch the highlights tonight, right? But they must have been sensational here. I don't know, there are a few in the chat saying that Thiago was a little bit anonymous today. But listen, they're playing with 10 men, Brentford. They're digging in. They're probably just looking for him to hold the ball up and take the pressure off the defence most of the time. So I do have a bit of a worry about Rodgers. I have to say, I think he's got the fixtures there to play himself into form. And, you know, Villa are not exactly losing tons of games. They've been great, right? They've been on this phenomenal run. So I'm not necessarily panicking. But we are in a world where, I repeat what I said before, you've got the two Fernandezes, you've got your midfield kind of set up. The one you're looking at, really, if you want to, because there's so many midfielders we want, you want Wirtz back in, and we all want this and that and the other, people will look at Rodgers now.
And if you want the double up of Manchester United.
Maybe you want Cunha or Mbeumo, yeah. Maybe you want to go for Rice or take a punt on someone there. Maybe you want to go someone alongside Enzo if they double. The one people will look at is Rodgers. People will look at him now.
They will, yeah. I will now. Because now he feels like, given at the minute, Enzo and Rice have the potential to double. And maybe if Man City win, maybe Semenya gets a double as well. That rules all of them out of being taken out in those moments. Plus the Chelsea fixtures, even if they don't double, are too good to not. So
yeah.
Rodgers is the weak link in that midfield at the moment. So he is that now the one that spot is up for grabs for sure.
Yeah. What do you make of the red card?
I haven't seen it. Is it red?
Yeah, it's naughty, yeah. Yeah. Sharda's, they're both on the floor. Sharda's getting up and he does a little donkey kick back into the other. I don't know who it was.
Foolish,
not sure who the Villa player was, but it's a red. It's a red. Yeah, yeah. No, because he's not on the floor and flick his leg out. He's on his way up, and as he gets up, sort of pushes and gives him a proper kick in the kick in the balls, basically. It was a kick in the balls. Matty Cash, yeah. I didn't see who he'd done it on, but yeah, it was a kick on Matty Cash. It's a red. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
Naughty boy.
All right, let's move on to then some of our scores for this week then, Sam. So I'll go first. 73 for me this week, and I'm done, so I don't have anybody in the Monday Night Football. But 73 is good. 73 is good. It's one of them weeks where... I got something from most, like, that's why, again, I'll be looking at Rodgers, right? Because Rodgers is the only one there with nothing, really, apart from the... That's why the Everton game, for me, the Everton-Brighton game, was such a... It was such a stinker, really, because the Verbruggen was on for, like, a 7 or 8 pointer. So for him to lose, you know, I'd have been near 80 points with Verbruggen coming in. And then Tarko had one... cleared off the line, and then like a minute later he concedes. It's just like, just bang unlucky there. But I can't really whinge, because the players that I bought in for this week, Fernandez, Enzo, João Pedro and Dorgu, but the first of those three, they've all come in with 10, 8 and 10. So, and I've captained Bruno for 20 points. So I'm very happy with that. Semenyo's still there as well. So for the podcasters, yeah, Verbruggen in goal with 3, Timber, Tarkowski, Gehi and Gabriel. You've put Gehi 5 here. I thought you ended up with 3, Gehi.
He did get 3. Did I just put the wrong number?
Yeah, it's 5. But I thought I think he's got 3. Because he did get Defcon near the end.
Yeah, he has got 3.
Gabriel with 8. Bruno Fernandes, 20, captain. Semenyo, 7. Rodgers and Enzo Fernandes. Haaland, 5. João Pedro, 10. João Pedro looking a lot like James Tarkowski there on the slide.
Yeah, but why? How has Tarkowski even ended up there?
I don't know. You did a graphic, Sam.
I know I do. But how has he ended up there? Because it's literally impossible for him to have ever been there, because he's never been the forward. So I don't know. Sorry, everyone.
Don't know. The bench is Dubravka, Wilson, who...
You didn't want to bench.
I didn't want to bench him. I had a real benching headache between him and Tarko this week. And in the end, I went for Tarko because of Everton's away form and the fact that Tarko loves picking up an 8 or 9 pointer away from home. But Wilson was in the game, took a couple of free kicks... I don't think I want to transfer him out, but, you know, in a world where we want a lot of midfielders, maybe, Harry, maybe, I don't know. And then obviously Giyu and Dorgu that, you know, do need sorting out in my team if I'm going to play the bench boost at any stage this season. But anyway, 73 all out is okay. Now, listen, the Sunderland clean sheet, if it sticks tomorrow, will hurt me a little bit, but I don't think anything other than that's going to hurt. Yeah, leaves me at 434K. So, no, that was my game week rank, 438k. So my game week rank was 434, my overall rank 438. So a rank change of 34%, decent, right? Decent. And with one free transfer in the bank, because I obviously splurged a load, didn't I, last week. I should have two there, really, because Dorgu was a mistake, wasn't it? But nevertheless, I'm going into next week with one transfer and 2.7 million in the bank. And I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking... it's sort of okay. So as you guys can see on the screen, this is my bus team for next week. So for the podcasters, it's more or less everything that I said, except I'll be bringing Wilson in because he's got Everton at home, and I'd be benching Gehi because he's going away to Liverpool. Bruno Fernandes captain in my bus team at the moment. That's what I'm thinking.
In the lunchtime kickoff?
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Spurs? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I don't maybe. Like you very much.
I don't know. That's why I'm currently thinking.
What, you're doing it because you don't want me to like you anymore? Is that what
no,
you...
I'm doing it because I think you'll get the most points out of everyone in the game week, which is the way you should always play your captaincy. But I probably will run my transfer next week. I might do Dorgu to Hill in the most boring transfer of the season so far.
What, and bench Tarko? Because you've got... if you're backing Harry Wilson...
But, and this is why I might roll, right? Because... you've got, so if I did bring in Hill, he's got Villa at home, which is like not the easiest game in the world, right? Villa could easily score in that game. So
yeah.
Do I fancy James Hill or Tarkowski out of them two? It's a, you could argue that's a bit of a 50-50. I don't fancy a clean sheet for either in reality. So is that just a waste of a transfer? When actually what I should do is probably roll it, knowing that coming game week 26, I can think about which third Chelsea I want or which third Arsenal I want. Notice that I've got 2 Chelsea, 2 Arsenal. It's leaving me with... I want to be flexible. I want to be flexible. Because in this double, I'm going to fancy a punt, I think, in this double. Now, if it's a Chelsea punt, I've got to be careful because I've got my 3 Chelsea, right? I've got João Pedro, Enzo, and I've got bloody Giyu sitting there taking up a spot.
Did you just do Giyu to Creepy then?
Well, I absolutely could
or
do
Mane.
That. Absolutely could do that. And that is the other one I could do. I could just do Giyu to Creepy this week.
Yeah.
And then he's home to Villa, isn't he? Not that. So I fancy Villa will,
would you go
might
Krupa,
score in that
would
game.
Would you go Mane if he doubles?
Well, this is. I might wait for Tuesday.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Great idea, isn't
it? Thought you were never taking my advice ever again.
That's why I'm really good at FPL, Sam. No. Because I wait for information. Not like you telling me to splurge four transfers on a Sunday night like
wait,
last
no,
week.
No, that is not what I said.
Yeah, get Dorgu.
No, no.
Might be injured, but yeah.
Oh, you're such a little shitbag. That is not, that is exactly not what happened. That is not what
sat
happened.
Sat here last week, I saw your little face. You were just like, yeah, go on, Lee.
No,
you spend all your, all them transfers you've been building up for a few weeks, Lee.
Such a little kid.
You spend them nothing, transfers.
None of
and
this
you know
happened.
What? You can play your wild card later. It's all fine. Got bloody Dorgu, didn't
no,
I? What
I did not tell you to get Dorgu. In fact, if anything, I think I said you should wait on him because we didn't know what was happening. Who brings in somebody that has got ice strapped to their leg and you wait for news like a good FPL manager? I thought you were a good one.
Well, lesson learned listening to you last week.
No,
lesson learned.
It's not listening to me, is it? I said to you, go early on the transfers if you want to play your wild card because you might find that if you go early on the transfers, you don't need the wild card. And as it happens, Mr. Lee from FPL Family, you've done all right out of it, those transfers.
Yeah.
So you can shut up.
Yeah, it's done all right.
Stop windbagging.
So, having splurged on my transfers early doors last game week, I'm definitely going to wait till Tuesday. And then depending on how Tuesday goes, it'll either be, Giyu to Krupi, or I'll be rolling. It's not going to be exciting this week, guys. Sorry. It's last week, four transfers on a Sunday night with a possible wild card. It was sexy, wasn't it? That's a great. What a week. What a great week we had. It was exciting. It was fun. It was entertaining. I was being a real great manager getting Dorgu. But this week, week, it's not happening. I'm being boring this week. It's either going to be a roll or it's going to be Dorgu to Hill. It's going to be boring as hell, guys. That is how I'm going to play it this week. Or maybe Krupa. Yeah, 73 for you as well. But you will end up beating me this week, assuming Roofs gets something and it's not negative tomorrow, because you've got Roofs still to play against Burnley at home.
Why would you want him to get something negative?
I didn't say I want him to get something negative.
Why would you even suggest that that's going to happen?
I don't... God.
He's going to be great. He's going to be phenomenal. He's going to get a 6-pointer plus 3 bonus points, plus he might make a couple of saves. He's going to get 10 points tomorrow night.
Talk us through your team.
Good week. Finally, a good week. We have got a very big green arrow. We're up about 700k, which is
stuff.
A thing of beauty. And I was very happy about
it. Might go
it.
Down a little bit if Roofs gets -1, -2 tomorrow. Just look on your face. You know they're keeping a clean sheet. Come on, behave yourself. Burnley at home.
We'll kill you at the end of this stream. I still have...
Red card Roofs at Chelsea.
Shut up, all of you. Roofs, yes, I've got him still to come tomorrow. He's going to get 10 points. That'll be lovely. Backline did me proud. Timber with 5, Gabriel with 8, and Sinesi with 8. Very happy with
all
of them. The midfield, generally decent. Enzo 8, Semenyo 7. Rodgers and Rice, the disappointments there with 2 and 3. But Bruno Fernandes saving the day as the captain with 20. First time in a long time I have captained my highest scoring player.
Yeah.
So very pleased about that. Apart from tomorrow when Roofs gets more, obviously, then I'll have made a mistake and I should have captained him. But Bruno looking great. Haaland with 5, Krupa with 7. I'm really happy. I think going into the week, I felt for a couple of weeks now that my team has looked good, and the first week of the wild card was good. Last week was a bit disappointing. My own stupid fault for benching Van der Ven.
What were your moves this week? Did you roll this week?
No, I did Verts to Bruno, which...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Which
okay.
cost me 2 points in the end. But the reality of the situation is...
You'd have captained Haaland, though, if you'd have kept Verts.
Correct.
Yeah.
Would I have captained Haaland? I think I'd have captained Semenyo.
You did discuss that. I'll give you that.
Because
yeah,
I didn't have my vice on Haaland. I had my vice on Semenyo. So I think what had happened, had I not done the Bruno move, I would have had Verts instead. So obviously I'd have been a little bit better off by having Verts rather than Bruno, but not loads.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the captaincy would have been worse. So probably I'd have been about level, to be honest.
All right, talk us through for next week then. How's next week looking?
So for next week, if I don't do anything, I'm swapping my goalkeepers over.
Enzo captain next week.
Yeah, you got a captain, the highest scoring player in your team, remember, Lee, as you've just told me. And I
Enzo
don't believe...
Enzo away at Wolves, captain.
I don't believe that Bruno Fernandes will be the highest scoring player in my team next week.
Oh, take your Spurs goggles off. Just because you play well for 45 minutes Come on, please. Enzo over Bruno Fernandes next week.
I'm not captaining a lunchtime kickoff. No chance. I don't do that.
I tell you what.
So there's no chance that's happening.
Tell you what.
I will not be doing that because I don't do the lunchtime kickoff. I have thought about captaining Semenya again. I seem to think about captaining him every week. Because
I'd captain Semenya over Enzo.
Because I don't love the Liverpool defence. And I do think
nor
that...
does anyone. Don't worry about that.
I do think you'll deal with Haaland, but I think you might be a bit like us and might struggle with the Semenya bit down the other side. I've pondered on captaining Gabriel, to be honest, because Sunderland away from home are dreadful. So I could see a clean sheet there. Maybe there's some points in it for him, but let's see what happens on. I think Tuesday night is going to be really interesting because obviously I'll watch what happens. There is also a chance that I go Calvert-Lewin to João Pedro this week.
Right. Okay.
If I do that, that would mean I'd bench Kroupy against Villa.
Not keen on that, you know.
Which I'm not keen on.
Yeah.
But
this is the, we just discussed it, didn't we? You might want to play him every week now, Kroupy. This is the problem.
Or I'd have to bench Morgan Rodgers, which I could do. Could play 4-4-2.
Yeah.
3-4-3, and do that. If I had João Pedro, I probably would captain him over Enzo.
Would you? Okay.
But I definitely am not captaining Bruno Fernandes. I do not captain in the lunchtime kickoff.
It'll be interesting, wouldn't it? That there's a lot on Tuesday because again, you know, like if Palmer plays, gets injured, or he's crap again, it's like, well, does, especially if he's injured, does then Enzo go in the 10 again? Enzo in the 10 against Wolves on pens looks much more of a captaincy option to me than he would have done if he'd have played that position again like he did this week.
90, didn't he? So can he play 90 and then again in a week? Can he? I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not. All right.
But happy week. Happy week for both of us. Spurs result good. Liverpool result good. Green arrow for you. Big one. Big green arrow for me. Rooster hauling coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tigers won.
Our teams are not as crap as we first thought, maybe. It's all right. Thomas Frank in. Slot in.
Wow.
You're not sure about the Thomas Frank in still,
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But Xavi Simons is quickly becoming...
Oh, God. Here we go. This is the classic life of a Spurs fan. 45 minutes of decent football, and we're back. There we go. Spurs are back.
Hang on a minute.
Spurs are back.
I've not said that. What? When did I say Spurs were back? At no point have I sat here and said that. No chance.
Spurs fans are all the same.
We're all the same.
God damn.
But some of us are delusional. I am quite frankly open about our team and our problems. And sometimes, as you'll have seen from my videos over the last couple of weeks when I've done them, we've not been great. But I do always say that we are Manchester City's bogey team. And yet again, it has proven right. And I did say that the midfielders would do better than Haaland. And yet again, proves I do know my team.
All right, well, I'm going to go and watch Match of the Day back and watch Spurs score from a 0.04 scorpion kick and a foul, and we'll just assume that Spurs are back. Yeah, tell everyone what's going on. Tell everyone what's going on.
You're such. I tell you what, we can have a domestic when this stream finishes. What did you ask?
What's going on this week? I'm doing loads this week.
Right,
I'm really busy.
For some reason, everyone's decided they want Lee on a show this week. I don't know. Maybe it's because he brings in transfers like Dorgu, who's injured. Maybe that's why they all want him on the show. So I'm not sure.
That is the premium content that
all
want.
Maybe they've all decided, you know, what we'll do is we'll get a proper FPL expert, one that brings in an injured player.
They were like, he brought in Dorgu. He must know something. What does he know, cartel?
You're about the least cartel person going.
I have the least cartel person going.
I saw the chief head of the cartel lying on a sun lounger talking about whether he should wildcard or not from a beach in the Dominican Republic. I'm joking.
That is so funny. He said... We shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I love him to bits. Did he put it out there?
He put it out there publicly
on Instagram, so we can say it. Yeah, if you've not checked out Az's Instagram stories, he and Yells are on, like, they're on a holiday in Dominican Republic right now, absolutely living the dream. It looks sensational, lovely holiday. On his Instagram story, there's a video that, in summary, basically says, "My team's shit. I should wild card. I hate FPL." And I don't care because I'm drinking daiquiris in a pool in the Dominican Republic. So bye. Cheers, Az.
Yes, so good. Oh, so funny. Anyway, back to the question that you actually asked me, which is kind of irrelevant to Az being on holiday.
Yeah, well, you brought him up. I didn't bring him up.
Yeah, I don't know why I brought him up. On Tuesday, Lee is doing off the bench.
Yes, with FPL Harry.
FPL Harry.
Yeah, no less.
Now, there's a proper FPL manager. I bet he didn't bring in
He did bring
Dorgu.
In Dorgu. That's a fact.
With FPL Harry, so he'll be doing that on Tuesday morning, and then on Friday, on Thursday, I'll be doing the FPL pod with Jules and Kelly as normal. Jules has had a good week, actually, on the back of
another his good week for Jules, yeah.
Yeah, on his wild card, done really well. So I'll be doing that with them too on Tuesday. On Thursday morning, I'll be back on the Q&A. I think Az is back from his jolly to the Dominican Republic for the Q&A on Thursday afternoon. So good. Tune into that on Scout. We'll be putting out Ohana for our patrons as normal on Thursday evening. And then on Friday, somehow, Lee's also been asked to go on the FPL show this week.
Going to be on the FPL show, yeah.
Yeah, so Lee's going down to record the FPL show on Friday before you jet off. Now, I've got bone to pick with you.
Go on.
Because you're going away on this work trip next week.
Yeah, no FPL family live stream next Sunday. But I'm not here.
There's a midweek game week. So
is there?
Yeah, starts on Tuesday. So one, I've got put an alarm in your diary and don't miss it. Because you're on Vegas time.
That'll be double game week as well, won't it?
Yes, it's the midweek round.
Ruh-oh.
So do not miss that because you might.
I might.
If you're in a casino, not knowing what time it is.
Be busy.
And two, can't not have a live stream on the weekend of the double game week.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
Flying out Sunday lunchtime. Not going
to
be here.
I don't know. We'll have to discuss it. Maybe we might have to go and put out a podcast on Sunday morning or something.
Well, you know what people should do, Sam? They should go to patreon.com/FPL family and get a free account over there so they get access to our Ohana podcast on Thursday, because that'll give everybody a bit of a feel, because Tuesday will be done. We'll know what the double game week looks like.
Yes.
And that podcast, I will give some insight into what I'm doing about Dorgu, because that's the premium content everyone wants, Sam.
Nobody cares.
That is the content.
Nobody cares. Everyone doesn't trust you anymore because you bought in Dorgu. They all thought Dorgu must be fine because Lee, the head of the cartel, has brought him in.
No.
What you've proved is that you're not the head of the cartel and you just made a stupid decision.
I'm definitely not cartel. Right, guys, that is it. Two green arrows and two results for our team. Incredible stuff. So we're off to watch match today with big smiles on our faces and a cup of tea. Thanks for joining us here tonight on FPL Family. As I mentioned before, no FPL Family live stream next Sunday. I'm not here. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks at Sunday, 9 o'clock, for another live stream as usual. But if you're looking for a bit of an FPL family fix between now and then, yes, Ohana podcast over on patreon.com is where you can find that game week 20. Where are we now? 25, wasn't it? 25, yeah. Preview podcast coming up on Thursday. So
I'll put out a 26 preview podcast on my own as well while you're not here.
Nice. So as we always say, the Patreon podcast, the game week preview podcast, doesn't cost anything, right? You have to go and get an account at Patreon. So go to patreon.com/FPL family, get an account, but you don't have to buy the $3 or the $5 or the $10 tier things, right? Unless you want all that other, if you do want that other content, great. We'd love to have you along in the community, of course, right? But if you're just interested in the podcast, that is the place to go. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to go watch match today. Leave us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another FPL Family live stream. See you soon, guys.
Bye, guys.